It's the Tiltcast, episode 177. Nope.
And this week, me and Jason discuss FDL and how much I suck, Supernatural, 7 Days to Die, Wasteland 2, Hitman Absolute, and Hitman Absolution. So stay tuned.
Oh, and remember, Justin sucks.
I do suck at video games sometimes.
And that was the intro.
Yep.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, and this week it is me, Justin, and across from me I have McNulty.
What's up, guys? We are duoing this bitch.
Yeah, we are. Rusty's busy with school. Earl's busy with family. Trent's busy with...
Trent decided to puke his brains out because of a migraine, so
yeah,
here we are.
He ain't going to be here, so we decided that we're going to do this. I think at this point, Jason, like, really, I think you've earned your wings.
I should hope so after a year.
Yeah, I think we're done giving you shit. I don't think your red shirt is consistent as you've been on the show lately. You have earned your wings.
Consistent? I think I've missed one episode in the year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't even know how that's even possible. So, kudos to you. But this week is going to be an interesting show. We did a little bit of pre-planning, trying to figure out what we were going to talk about to make this interesting. And I've got a few ideas. I'm sure Jason does too.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jason, being the type of show that this is this week, I'm not going to really bother with what you've been doing as much as, I don't know, what do you think we're going to talk about this show? Like, how do you think we should go forward?
Oh, God.
We're making this up as we go, folks.
Yes, we are. And that's it. We should just approach this like we're doing Young Frankenstein Revisited and ad-lib this shit all the way through.
Well, we decided beer is probably the best way to open. I mean, I found out today that I'm a very outspoken person at work, and I won't go into all the details, but essentially, because I like to stick my foot in my mouth and get involved with shit's loads of projects, decided to say that something was fucked up with how our business was being run currently, and immediately got assigned a project of training 600 people on a new process, which I don't know how that fits into my schedule, especially with me basically D&Ding all weekend. But I got a plan, and as usual, I'm multitasking like a motherfucker, and I've already got the plan in place, and now all I need is approval. And since all the other supervisors didn't speak up, I'm going to throw them in the under the bus with me to live so that we can get things done. And I've already done so and approached people, so I'm feeling pretty smarmy about that.
Hey, sir, you should have learned from the media a long time ago. All you got to do is speak the loudest and drag everybody else with you.
I do it quite frankly, I shouldn't even be slurring yet. I had like 3 sips of that beer. Got Boddington's, you got a Shiner. Good beers.
Yeah, great beers.
So, it'll be kind of a random night.
Extremely.
Me and a buddy of mine at work, I'm just going to call him my protege, we're deciding, this is going to be extremely stereotypical, so forgive me, folks. Jason, what kind of phone do you have?
I've got a HTC Evo 4G LTE.
And do you drink Monster? Or do you drink Red Bull?
Neither.
You may be in the safe. I will say that I usually drink a Monster if I'm going to go energy. And I do also have an Android. I have a great phone. It's not really that great. I just have a Galaxy S3. So not really that amazing. It's just it's functional.
Step up from the flip phone you had like a year and a half ago.
Well, I didn't even have a flip phone. I had, they call it candy bar phone.
And oh, yeah, that's right. You had the Nokia fuck.
Yeah, the Nokia fuck. I had a Nokia fuck. What it was is my phone was so ancient that when I was in my interview for being a manager or a supervisor, they said, so the only feedback we have for you is you need to get a new phone. I was like, what the fuck? It's like, we need to be able to be, we want to know that we can send you text messages and that you can check your email. Well, I still don't check my email on this because God knows I don't want an alert every minute because I get about 200 or 300 emails a day.
No, but if you absolutely have to, you have the freedom.
You know what I do? I go on my computer, owa.company.com.
And I did it through my phone's browser.
I've done that through my phone's browser before, too, but I don't suggest it. On my days off this week, I'm going to have to keep up because Lord only knows how many revisions to my original plan will be put through.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that was my feedback. But anyways, getting back on topic of what I was going for originally, we're talking about specific apps. We're talking to a gay friend of ours, and we noticed a couple of apps. One's called Scruff, and one is called Grindr. Do you know what those are? Jason's reaction is priceless.
Oh. And knowing who you're talking about,
they're DTF.
That does not surprise me.
They're DTF apps.
Yes.
If you need booty, you click on the app and find out if you're ready. And I just saw that and I was like, oh my God. And I looked at my buddy and I was like, huh. And he looked at me and he was like, huh. Like, what do you think about this, buddy? He's like, oh, they work great. I was just like, oh my God. You know?
And knowing your buddy? Mm-hmm. If he wasn't so worried about getting caught with them, they'd probably be on his phone too.
I just think it's funny because it's an iPhone only app because we were asking, I was like, hey man, so how come a lot of you gay guys have this iPhone? And then he showed us apps, and that's when we figured it out. It's a networking thing. I kind of wish straight guys were that smart. Like, in our world, like, things are not that simple most of the time. Most of the time, when you're DTF, it's not that simple. I mean, there are some guys that have mastered the art, but for the most part, we haven't. And for that other subset of people that are into other dudes or into other chicks, you know, like, they have this down, this DTF concept down to a fucking science. Like, I wish, like, in, to a certain degree, like, that it was that fucking easy. Like, there's no chocolate involved. There's no taking you out to dinner. There's, like, none of that. It's like, are you DTF? They're like, yes. Okay, I'll meet you. And they're done. Like, that is so simple. Like, there is no complication in that whatsoever.
I can honestly say from my younger days, it does exist. The only thing is,
you don't know what you're going to get.
You have no idea whether or not in the middle or right at the end that person's significant other is going to walk through the door.
Ouch.
There were many a times I had to run from a significant other.
Well, I've never gone
that I never knew existed.
Well, I never utilized technology to its fullest potential. But I can only imagine that. Oh, that's just so weird.
Oh, but dude, that was one of the great parts about working in retail that I utilized.
So I can just
imagine. There were many a hot chick that ended up giving me their number.
I can only imagine working retail. Like, if it paid well enough, like, it'd be a great way to meet people. Because you're meeting them face to face.
It is.
You don't know all their baggage.
But
if the baggage is only there for a week, I guess I could deal.
I never had to deal with it. Granted, most of the time, no, this was when I was still 18 and 19. Most of these like chicks...
5 years ago?
Most of these chicks ended up being... It's been longer than that, fucker. I'm not that young.
You are the youngest person on the show, minus Drew. Oh, are you older than Casey?
Yes, I am.
How old are you? 27?
Fucker, I'm almost 29.
Oh, almost 29. So almost. So ancient.
I know, right? Hey, man, I will fully admit, yes, I may be young, but I have lived a lot of life so far.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that is a true gauge. Mm. What do you think about all the stuff I've done, all the different jobs I've worked, not to mention the fact that I'm on my second marriage already.
See, I had two engagements that never went through. I just knew when to run. I'm not very good with commitment if that's not apparently or immediately obvious. As I am a single dude again, so...
Woohoo! More beer.
I'm not going to elaborate on that. But yeah, it also frees up a lot more time for the show. Gaming and then the such, so I have a lot of free time right now. To the degree that I'm going into gaming this weekend.
Yeah.
Things like that nature.
See, that's why we just got my wife gaming with us this time.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective to put on life. Again, when you've been dating somebody for a long time, and you just suddenly have all this time, it's like, what the hell? It's a different perspective.
My wife actually allows me a decent amount of time, but then again, I also work until 8, so I'm normally up until 1 or 2 in the morning.
Right.
She's got to go to bed latest by 12 o'clock if she doesn't want to be a zombie the whole day the next day.
Well, I work a weird schedule as well, so I mean, I don't have to be at work till 10 o'clock, and I only work 4 days a week, so yeah. I work 10 to 9, Saturday through Tuesday. Not the greatest schedule, but on the upside of that, I also have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off, which means that I don't have to do chores for my parents, which no roofing projects or yard projects, etc.
Yeah.
Because I'm always working. Downside is I don't see them as often as I used to, but the upside is I don't get the chores. But also have 3 whole days that I game, or do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, I miss 4/10.
It's really not that bad of a shift. And now, the way that I've got my time management set up, I get done with all my quote-unquote work by Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday I fill that now with projects, which is, I guess I decided I'm too good with time management, I need more to do. So now I'm at 5 projects. I think.
Just face it, you have ADD, you can't just sit there and manage your agents for 2 days. You have to have something else to do.
That's what I have an assistant for, and that's what she does for me. But that, yeah, that's something that happened since you left, and I work in a call center environment, and so
yeah.
Beforehand I was a supervisor on my own, and I had to do everything, which you manage anywhere 15 to 20 people. They can take a lot of time, especially if they have questions, yeah. Or et cetera, et cetera. And then you want to go over where they're at with their job and things like that, and do that once a week. All yep. Those sessions take time. All the planning behind it and running the numbers takes time. And then you get really good at that, and then they decide, well, maybe you're not busy enough. Here's some extra things to do. So now I manage project tracking a bunch of numbers for the whole site. I manage the IT issues side of things. I don't manage that. I sit on a team that does that, but it's a very small team, me and Tab and a couple of other people.
Yeah.
And I also sit in on a sales side of the site that helps drive sales, and now I'm training the entire site. So now I kind of wish I was at a point where I was just overburdened, didn't have enough to do. At a certain point, they're also going to delegate me to payroll as well, and I was like, no, I'm done. I don't want to mess with that as well. So.
No. You never want to mess with payroll.
I get a point of contact, but I get delegated a lot for when people are out, so I guess I'm doing that all right.
Yeah, but payroll, that's sticky.
Man, that's sticky. When people's money's
crazy. I mean, whenever...
When somebody misses out on holiday pay, that is a difficult conversation.
Whenever I covered certain supervisors up there, and it ended up happening falling on their payroll, I always... hated having to run it.
Well, and it's the part where, you know, you're dealing with people's hours and things like that. Ultimately, people can own up to what they work, so that's kind of how I manage it. But, long story short, yeah, the Grindr and Scruff. Interesting apps. Interesting names.
But the names don't surprise me.
Made by men.
Made by men who...
For men.
Made by men, for men, seeking men, who may not necessarily always act like men.
Which I think is kind of hilarious.
don't get me wrong, guys. I don't mean sound gruff. A lot of my friends are of that particular persuasion. Just the friends I have who are of that particular persuasion still act like men.
Oh, it just depends. I'm friends with a lot of people. I'm a friendly guy. I got an award for being the friendliest person at work. And they gave me a day off for it.
Wow, shy guy?
No, it was called... So, like, all the supervisors got together and they given out awards. I posted it on my Facebook.
No, I'm just saying, like, the guy that it took me, like, 2 months to get to say more than, like, 2 words to me.
Your personality changes at different stages of life. I wasn't always shy. I was currently seeking employment elsewhere when I was still doing stuff at a regular employee level. But I don't know, just I think as you progress through a job or through a career or through anything that you do, certain things about you change, and that's one thing that's changed about me.
That is true.
Well, I'm way over assertive now, back to where I was before I worked there.
I don't put up with people's crap anymore.
I think part of that is like when I came to that job, I was working at H&R Block. I can say that now. I don't work there anymore. But I was working on the side of the web apps, essentially. So they had a web app that managed accounts and things like that, one that you used to log in online. I was working on the back end of that with a team of employees that did that, and I managed that. I made pretty decent money. I go to this job as a temp job, and then I just ended up working there forever.
That's how I ended up there for almost 7 years.
And I went from making a certain amount to making about a third of what I was making. And I still don't make what I made before 6 years ago. But I'm a lot closer now than I was before. So that's kind of where I've stayed. Mm. But that aside, having the 3 days off has made it incredibly easy for me to game and be an adult child, which I enjoy so much. I think the biggest revelation for me, like when I came back from Kansas a long time ago, I was really big into MMOs, like super big into MMOs. I played a lot of World of Warcraft.
Yep.
And friends of mine that listen to the show that I still game with today will know that we were fucking serious as hell about World of Warcraft.
I remember those days.
And which is why I swear it off now, because it took so much of my time. But World of Warcraft consumed every hour that I wasn't at work doing it. And me and my fiance actually played that together for a long time, and it was, I don't know, it's just, it was so much of my life. Now, the good things that came out of WoW is I met a lot of cool people. It's basically a huge social network.
That is true.
Then I'm still friends today with some of those people, and looking back, I don't miss that time. However, I made a conscious decision when our internet sucked. We had AT&T and our DSL was garbage, and my internet would drop in and out during raids, and I'm a raid leader at the time. So the raid leader main tank, back during Wrath days, we're doing Ulduar, and it is dropping connection while I'm tanking, while I'm trying to direct a fight. And after a certain point, I was like, guys, I think I'm retiring. I'm done. I just can't do this anymore. And I started playing Fallout 3. And I was like, man, games have come a long way since I started playing WoW. Like, there was a period of my life where I played nothing but MMOs from 2004 to 2009. So for a significant chunk of my life, I did not get into any game for like 5 years. And then I was like, I think John from Carousel wanted to start Carousel. And he guy's like, I didn't even really listen to podcasts. And he's like, hey, you need to check out a couple of podcasts. And that's when I discovered NoQuarters.net, TVGP, and Giant Bomb. Yep. And I heard that, I was like, I can do that. And we started talking about it. And say I was on that show for about the first 10 or 15 episodes. And it was more of a, I want to do a games only thing, where they wanted to do everything nerd. And they still do everything nerd. But I did not know enough about that stuff, because I've been disconnected from most of those things for so long that I didn't get into it. I know for a significant portion of my life, before I started playing WoW, WoW started after I finished my first band, or my last band, I guess.
Yeah.
I played for 5 years in a punk band. 2000 to 2005, and then I started playing WoW in the middle of that, and then that fizzled out. I got a pretty decent job, and I started playing WoW all the time, and then I stopped playing music. So for a very significant amount of time, I wasn't engaged in nerd culture as much as I am today. Today, I am re-embracing what I lost, which is a different kind of thing, which is why I wasn't as familiar with some of the gaming stuff that you guys were, even the movies or anything else. I was 24/7 about music, and then WoW for a while. So Fallout pulled me back in, which is a weird thing, because Fallout was my favorite game back in the late 90s, Fallout 1 and 2. And back then, me and Trent worked at a place, I'm not going to say the name, a web development firm that we got paid hardly anything for. And I've said this story a few times here on the show, but I played Fallout during the slow time on my computer at that place, because me and him are both pretty good at time management, so we would get done early on everything and pretend to work, or, you know, just, oh yeah, I'm working. I'm running Fallout again for like the 12th time that week, you know, whatever. Playing yet another character I created. So, coming full circle back around, I think this show has just kind of redefined me getting back into nerd culture. I think it's been really a good outlet for that, so that's why I've continued to do it. I don't know where I'm going with all this, but it just felt like a good topic to start talking about, being there's only two of us.
Well, I can honestly say I never left my nerd culture fully, but I do understand what you're saying about falling out of music. I mean, I haven't sung or played bass in
many moons.
7-8 years.
Yeah, I did. I got pictures and I got soundtracks to prove it. Soundtracks, demos. I did that for a long time. That was really fun. I've actually thought about getting back into it. I was looking at cars the other day because, you know, I drive a piece of shit. Yeah. And Jay Stu, you know him from work.
Yeah.
He just got a truck. See, his Beamer got wrecked. I was like, man, if I could take a car or a truck and then I could have a tarp, then I could put, you know, equipment in the back and I can go play again. I think that would be the fucking shit. But then it'd be that whole thing about finding a band. And then at my age, I would just want to play and have fun. Whereas the people that are really into it in their early 20s think they're going to be like rock stars, which happens to almost nobody these days. Still.
No.
Even with the world of the internet, like, it's really hard to make it.
Yeah.
Like, most bands just don't make any money anymore. And I think it's really sad, which is why I try to buy as much music as I can.
Well, that's because the venues just don't. I mean, the
Canes. There's more to it than that. Like, think about, so, Canes. Canes costs about $1,000 to rent. You need to raise $1,000 in revenue that night to cover basic costs. Then you're talking about merch people. You're going to split another $200 for your merch people just for that night. You're just talking about two or three people to run your booth. Even if you have family or friends, they got to eat, and then you got to eat.
Yep.
So if you're going to pack the Canes, you need to be a fairly popular band. Even with 100 people at $10 a head, you're not even breaking even. If you charge $20 at 1,000 people, you're still splitting it four or five ways. You made like $100. That ain't shit.
No.
That ain't shit at all. And that's with 200 people.
Why do you think I gave up on it early?
Like, it's just,
I saw the writing on. Now, granted, I was doing it in northern Texas up through Little Rock when I was in high school, but I saw the writing on the wall early.
Well, we played in a lot of, like, small bars and small venues and things like that, and our normal shows were anywhere from, like, 50 people to maybe 200 people. And we didn't charge anything because we couldn't charge much. And most of the time it was gas and beer and food and a little bit on the side. And thank God I was a student because that's how I was getting paid. That's how I was living. So I tour during the weekends and come back and do school during the week. And it was fucking rough. But it was really fun. So I wouldn't take it back for anything. Like, I wouldn't take back that experience. But I lost a lot of my nerddom during that time. The reason I say that is I didn't have time for it. And early 2000s, the only thing you had were, like, DSs and Game Boy Advance and stuff like that. And I didn't really like a lot of the games on that stuff. So, I mean, I was always playing more mature games even later on. Like, Fallout was an extremely mature game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, real big into Doom and really big into Wolfenstein and stuff like that. And that's not stuff you can really play on a mobile platform back then. Nowadays, that stuff's all over the place. I'm sure you can probably find a version of, what you're just saying, Baldur's Gate and Dance Edition for your
Android. Android.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got stuff like that nowadays.
Wolfenstein and Doom have been on both mobile platforms forever.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. But, you know, during that day and age, there wasn't really anything that you could do to game like that on the go and have any kind of decent gaming experience. And there might have been a few corner cases, but, you know, Samurai Showdown on my Game Boy only went so far before I got bored.
The closest you got was if you had a laptop decent enough to run
I didn't have money for it. I didn't have
Diablo and land that shit.
Yeah, I didn't have enough money for a laptop at that point.
But
that's kind of my history with this. Is I got into games again, decided I want to be passionate about it again, and I was like, I'm going to do this podcast. And then I talked, you know, Trent and Andrew were already talking about setting up a blog. I was like, let's just do a show. It'd be way more fun. I jumped in on it, and we did that for a while, and the members have kind of come and gone, but me and Trent have consistently been on the show now for 4 years, so it's been kind of a wild ride.
Well, and shoot, the only reason I'm here was because you're like, hey, you have a voice. You're fairly intelligent about games.
Well, I was looking for people we have, I'd get along with.
We have people in and out right now. Come sit in. Okay.
Yeah, I can't. We've had a lot of members on the show.
Yeah.
We've had a fucking stable.
That is true. Still do.
Yeah, we still do. And actually, I have thought about calling Casey tonight, and then I just didn't think about it in time. But he's all wore out. He's running a whole new department right now.
Yeah.
So he's dealing with DSL service.
Woohoo.
So it's his project. But anyways, so yeah, it's been a weird and interesting ride. Other than that, like I don't know, beyond my history with working with you, I didn't know you before that. Were you a huge gamer like this whole time, or?
Oh yeah. Well, always as I could do it, you know.
As you could afford it.
As I could afford it. I mean, shoot, since I moved back up here after high school, it's been like 6 different jobs. Almost all of them paid less than Dish did, even from when I started. So, you know, that's just how it rolls.
Anything interesting you've been doing this week?
Catching up on Supernatural.
How far in, what season are you on?
The most current one. Gotcha. I was just about a season. I was just about 3/4 of a season behind, so I'm catching up.
What, so I'm only on season 5. Does it just keep getting better?
Oh, yeah, dude. Let's see. I can't remember. What's going on in season 5 where you're at?
Castiel and some other stuff.
Castiel just came in?
More or less, yeah.
Okay, so you haven't even gotten to the good Lucifer stuff yet. So.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's about to start getting interesting.
I actually started watching that show on Holly's recommendation. And I was trying to think of something that me and my ex would be into, and it just clicked. And it was on Netflix, and it was something easy to digest. And I didn't realize it would be less... I thought it would be less serialized than it is. I thought it would just be episode to episode would be, you know, here's another snapshot. And I realized there would be this huge overarching story. And it's goofy sometimes, but it just works.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you watch it, the first half of the first season, you see it is kind of serialized. I mean, they always had an idea of where they wanted to lead, but they didn't know if the show was going to succeed. So you don't even really start seeing the overarching story until halfway through season 1. And then it doesn't even really pick up until season 2. But it's all entertaining.
Yeah, all the way through. I could see going into it how they could have made that easily one season.
Yeah.
And they're just like, no, we can keep going with this. Yeah. And I've really liked a lot of the, how accurate it is with some of the folklore and then some of their twists on old folklore, like with the monster hunting stuff. And where I'm at right now, I kind of wish they'd get off this thing that they're on and go back to hunting more just crazy creatures. Because it feels like there's a big build-up right now, and I hope it pays off, and it sounds like it probably will, but I want them to go back to basically being... it's a modern version of The Witcher with a sidekick, so to speak.
Yes.
Like a lot of the stuff you hear about is stuff you hear about in The Witcher, and The Witcher had some really cool monster design or old Germanic lore involved with some of the stuff that you're going to kill.
Or if you played any of the Hunter games, it's like that Hunter the Reckoning and...
Was that Vampire Masquerade stuff? Or?
Yeah, but they were video games.
I know they had Diablo clone they had, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. That's the Hunter series.
Okay.
It's very much set up it's very similar. The main thing is they do their research. It's not just random folklore thrown together, just the base stuff everyone knows. These writers are actually going in, researching it. They give you a little bit of the details. They give you a little bit, you know, you get to see some of the language, some of the writing. Some, you know, it offers more credence to the whole thing.
Yeah, I've always liked the Devil's Trap stuff and all that stuff. And
yeah.
All the different exorcisms and things like that. I just kind of wish they'd get off the demon side of it and go back to some of the monsters.
Yeah. The demon side of it's going to be a constant now that it's there, but you'll see more and more just classic season one stuff enter in once you get into the deeper part of season six.
I think I've just always liked the whole, I don't know, like there's a certain amount of flair. I mean, there's a classic car that's in the show, they got the classic rock in the show, both guys are more or less badasses, like it's just a good show.
Yeah, well, and it's one of those few shows out there where the two characters and the two actors just click real well together.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Not a whole lot of shows do have that.
I think just have two main characters that play off each other all the time
and
do so well at it.
Yeah, and have just random ensembles come in and sell it.
Yeah, that kind of spurned from me thinking about last week's question. We were talking about what TV shows people should watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I went ahead and watched one the other day. Actually, yesterday I didn't have much to do. And Sunday nights I usually have to wind down a little bit. I don't always game real long. But I ended up gaming later. And I'll get into that later. But started watching Rick and Morty.
Yes.
That show is incredibly fucked up.
It is.
In a funny way, but just like... some of the themes that they bring into it, I'm just like, the whole... So, I just finished the episode, the Christmas special.
Oh, yeah.
With the dad and the mom and the third wheel.
Yes.
I knew where it was going the whole time, and then it just got worse. With the Superman suit.
Yeah, but you know what Rick and Morty reminds me of? It reminds me of a lot of classic Adult Swim, though. I mean, granted, they carry stuff a little bit further now. But, you know, it reminds me of classic Adult Swim.
Well, I think I just like how TV humor is finally catching up with me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just not corny sitcoms.
Yeah.
Like, God bless it. Like, Home Improvement when I was a kid was fun. But it's corny as hell. It's not funny in the way things are funny now. Not that everything has to be crass, but for me, like, I need something to shock me a little bit to make me laugh, you know? And that's just how it is.
I agree. Though, I have been watching Tim Allen's new series, though.
He's got a new series?
Yeah.
What's it? What is it?
Last Man Standing.
What's the concept?
Concept is not completely Home Improvement. So, he's the lead marketing strategist and, I guess you would say, vice president of, like, an outdoors store. Kind of like Bass Pro.
Gotcha.
But he still plays the ultra conservative, ultra, you know, pro guns, blah blah blah, with three daughters.
Interesting.
And the whole premise of the show starting was him not traveling as much to do marketing for the magazine and trusting other people to do that under his direction.
So
to spend more time with the girls so his wife could go back to work.
So I take it it's a comedy, or...
Oh, yeah.
Is it dirty, or is it clean, or...
Looney Tunes dirty.
I don't even know if that's a concept.
Okay. So, if you go back and watch old Looney Tunes now...
It's incredibly racist.
You can realize...
I'm just saying.
You will realize just how dirty it actually was. But you didn't see it when you were a kid, because you didn't know.
Effie LePew is like basically a serial rapist.
Yeah. It was very adult comedy, but dressed up as cartoons so the whole family could watch it. It's very much like that.
I guess I have to rewatch Looney Tunes. I never got that, but
Yeah.
Again, the last time I watched Looney Tunes, I was probably 12.
I still enjoy watching Looney Tunes. I will fully admit that.
I'll just have to check this out, because that... I never got that.
Yeah. It's just like... Go back and watch any of the old Disney movies we grew up with.
Okay.
You know, like The Rescuers, Great Mouse Detective, old stuff like that. You'll realize just how dark that crap was. But you never saw it as being that dark when you were a kid. You watch some of that stuff, you go, wow, Walt Disney was a sadistic son of a bitch. And I like him even more now because of it.
I guess I'm just going to have to rewatch some of that stuff. I've never really caught those themes, mm-hmm. but again, you know, it's just perspective.
It was stuff that was put in there for adults so that it would be enjoyable for them. You know, give it a good dark undertone story that carries through, stuff like that. Make parts of it light enough for children to watch to make it entertaining for them. You're not being overly grotesque about anything. It's just there.
Just subtle.
But you go back and watch it now and watch kids' stuff nowadays, the wussification of America is complete.
That's why there's adult cartoons.
Exactly. Because there's no entertainment that is both for kids and adults anymore.
That's true. Well, it's I don't have kids, rare. So I don't know. But, you know what I mean? Well, I guess you don't have kids either. But.
I did, and then, you know, my wife has a huge family. There are a lot of younger nieces, nephews, and whatnot, you know, that are over occasionally. So you end up watching crap like SpongeBob. And
I never really had to deal with SpongeBob because that was beyond my time. It's the same thing with like the fascination with Power Rangers. Like, that was more your side of the generation. Not that I'm hugely older than you, but like, that didn't hit till I was almost an adult.
Yeah.
So I never really understood it. I know that that's like that whole fascination.
Well, you were in junior high when it hit, really.
I was about 14.
Yeah, maybe freshman in high school.
I wasn't watching Power Rangers. I was skating and listening.
But then again, I'm not that much younger than you.
Right. I'm about 3-ish years, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but, I don't know. Like the, I guess when I was a kid, I mean, Animaniacs was big. That was what I was watching when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Go back and watch that now.
Well, the Hello Nurse thing.
See,
so, what?
It's not just that. There are tons of adult undertones in that, in Pinky and the Brain, all of it.
Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when we were kids, that was what my nicknames for me and my brother was. I was the Brain and my brother was Pinky.
Snarf!
Yeah. My brother's got like a huge amount of ADD and he's just hyperactive, so it kind of worked.
Oh, but, and you're not leg shaker?
Huh. Well, I just, different channeling, I guess. A little more focused than he was. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting how things have changed. But speaking of TV shows, I did try Rick and Morty, and I decided that was good. I'm going to watch more Rick and Morty. Still can't get enough of Archer. Like, Archer is so badass. That show is incredibly to the 15th power, like my type of cartoon. he's such a selfish douchebag, but it's so funny.
Yes, he is.
And to speak to that, another TV comedy that I don't know if it's going to come back or not is Legit.
If you haven't watched
Legit, Legit is good.
Legit is funny. I only saw a few episodes all the way through, but...
Did you see, and this is kind of random, but we were talking about shows that we liked, and for a little while I was watching at your house, Almost Human may get canceled?
Yes.
I'm a little bit sad about that. I really like the show. Carl Urban's doing a really good job of that.
Yeah, the whole cast is. It's another show that just works.
Another J.J. Abrams few season show.
I tell you what, him and Whedon need to like figure out what's going on here. Figure out what the studios
have. I think it's just high concept shows that cost a lot.
Yeah.
That can't sustain themselves through their viewership. So like you have a niche audience that wants to watch something and only gets on major networks like 3 million viewers, but costs a shitload to make, it's not going to be as popular as, you know, yeah. I can't tell you what's popular right now because I don't watch anything. American Idol, which has like barely any production costs.
Oh, God.
You know, but people watch it.
You know what the problem is that the majority of people, and I don't want to throw any of our listeners under the bus.
I just feel like it's lazy writing. But, I hate fucking reality TV and game shows.
But the majority of America does not watch intelligent TV anymore.
I don't think they want to. I think people watch TV to turn their brains off, but I have to keep my brain active.
Well, look at when we were kids. Okay, the shows that were on when we were kids.
Bill Nye.
And I'm just talking about network television prime time when we were kids. And this includes UHF, VHF. Just that. There was a lot of intelligent programming. There wasn't very many shows that were just dumb.
Saved by the Bell.
Was that primetime?
Nah, I don't know.
See, that's what I'm saying is primetime. Because we're dealing with primetime where shows get killed. Right here. Talking about...
But you got some other like high concept shows that have made it, and I think like cable television has really been working really well with that, like Walking Dead.
Oh yeah.
Huge fan of that show.
And you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Abrams doesn't try to pitch it to a cable network if Fox kills it. But then again, Whedon did the same thing for Firefly and nobody ever picked it back up.
Problem with Firefly is people didn't discover it till way later. I wasn't an original watcher. I discovered it probably
by the time Serenity came out.
No, about 2 years before Serenity came out. Actually, John from Carousel is the one who introduced me to it. Again, rediscovering my nerddom. Between him and Scott, like, I've discovered all sorts of shit. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this thread. But the fuck? Anyways. Somebody fell on my porch. Trying to rope this back to games, because that's what we do. There were some games that came out. I know that wasn't the most pleasant transition.
No, it wasn't at all, but fuck it.
Fuck it. I think you'd mentioned to me before, you're still playing Hitman, or...
Yeah. Here and there, like I said, I was mostly doing Supernatural pickup, so I replayed a couple of missions.
Well, let's say, you just trying to go through and get, like, perfectionist mode, or...
Yeah, and stepping up the difficulty, and... Because there are only certain achievements you can unlock at certain difficulties and whatnot. And I'm not talking Xbox achievements, I'm just talking
in-game stuff.
In-game stuff that you can unlock, but you can only do it at certain levels and whatnot.
It's a pretty decent game. I say pretty decent. I think it was one of my picks that year. I really, really liked Hitman. I'm not going to talk as much about Elder Scrolls Online this week because I didn't dig into that as much. And I did it on purpose because I'm kind of waiting on Rusty. I'm getting so far ahead of him on my characters that I don't want to be like completely bored with going through the old content I've played on five other characters several times.
Right.
So I've kind of put it on the back burner for now until he can finish some of his school stuff and get into it.
Couple more weeks, I'll be done.
So I jumped into 7 Days to Die because in the last 2 weeks it's been updated twice. I spent the better part of Friday and Sunday night, like way late, listening to BMF Cast, catching up with their stuff.
Yeah.
And then chewing them out about Dark Souls.
Are they still not Dark Souls lovers?
No, but I made the comment to someone. I don't remember because they all answer when I do their Facebook thing. About FTL being infinitely harder. And I've played the new FTL. The new FTL expansion is fucking amazing. Still hard as fuck. I can't get past stage 3 on the last boss. I have got 55 hours. And God, I just must suck. I'm just going to say that I must suck at that game. But I can get to the third stage of the final boss, and then I just poo-poo out. I spent Thursday, I want to say that I spent 7 hours trying to beat that game and could not beat it. And that game you can get through in a couple hours. So I had like 2 really good attempts during that time frame and several failed attempts where I'd blow up somewhere on my way to get to the end boss. It's a really hard game. I don't know if you've played it, but it's fairly simple in concept. It's just you get a ship, you pick up random waypoints as you go along, and you manage your subsystems on your ship and destroy ships or make decisions in a mud-style fashion based on the skill sets of your crew. And your crew gains skills based on what they do. But they've added a lot more content to it. They've added new ships. I unlocked... In that go, I hadn't unlocked a ship in months, and I finally unlocked 3 ships. I unlocked the slug ship, which is one. I unlocked some new content ship, and then I unlocked like the second version of the Taurus, which is the second ship you usually unlock. And with none of those ships could I beat the game. But I felt good that I unlocked ships, which is, there's a lot of ships to unlock. I want to say there were 12 or 15 or more now at this point.
Just face it, bad gamer.
May just be a bad game, but I challenge you to play it and beat it. That game is hard as fuck because it changes what's going to happen every time you play it. It is a roguelike to the truest form. It is, you go in and it will be different every time except for that final boss battle. That final boss battle is going to be the same, but all of your encounters going through are all going to be different. There's always going to be different missions or different varieties of those missions or different times that missions are going to pop up. It is just endless fun.
That is definitely what they were. We're trying to plan out redoing the bathroom. And I think what we're going to end up doing is just drawing some of my 401k out to do it.
Yeah.
So, that happens. I've been trying to work out how I can draw out enough to get a PC built and get one of the new consoles all in one go. So I can actually pick PC gaming back up and...
Well, it's so inexpensive most... Like, once you have the PC build...
Yeah.
It's not that expensive.
Especially when Steam goes on sale or whatnot.
Or you borrow my beta key or, you know, and start doing this family sharing and stuff.
It's just getting that PC built. And even now, I went back and looked at the specs on my laptop, and even with replacing the cooling fan... Everything else on my laptop is fine, except for the processor. It's too old now.
What kind of processor is it? Are you ashamed?
It is a quite beefy, but still AMD dual core.
Wow.
Yeah, but I bought that laptop in 2007? No, 2010, but that was... They didn't start opening up quad cores on laptops till 12.
Yeah, there hasn't been a lot of quad cores on laptops for a while.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, laptops are so far behind the curve on processors.
You just need to build a PC.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, I had...
Before you got on the show, we had, I want to say last year, we came up, or the year before last, we came up with a cheap PC build for $600 that would run any game. Aside from, like, you know, at some level of graphics.
You should know me by now. I go, if I'm going to go spend the money to build a PC, I'm future-proofing that motherfucker. So the only thing I got to do is upgrade the video card and maybe some RAM later on down the road.
That's really, I'm at that point right now where I don't need anything except for better cooling on my system. But, like, I don't really have anything to buy. Like, I keep looking at it. It's like, I don't really need a new processor. This i7's going to last a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Especially if you have a beefy i7.
I have a beefy-ass i7. That fucker cost me $400. I was
the one that almost runs at 4 hertz?
Yeah. 3.8.
Yeah.
I could overclock it, but what's the point?
Yeah.
There's no point. Really,
I know that 3.8 will overclock to almost 5, but what's the point?
My point is, I just need to... It's the graphic card that I ever update, and that 660 Ti is not the most powerful card, but coupled with that computer and with the RAM and everything else, it doesn't crap out on anything.
I've made the decision if I'm going to build one, I'm going SLI cards.
I still think there's a lot of potential for failure there. The reason I say that is, like, one card goes out, and you got to buy another card. It's not...
Well, it depends. I mean, even if you're SLIing, if a card does wear out, you can always switch it back to a one-card system simple enough. It's just...
The problem is, though, if it goes out, you have to find that exact card to pair it with.
Or you just buy two new cards when the time comes. I mean, let's face it, how many times have you had a good card crap out on you within 5 years?
One time, I gave it to Matt, and he replaced the fan. It's because, for one reason or another, I think a wire dropped down or got loose, and it got in the fan and broke a blade. I still have my old 90, or it's like GeForce 9500 or 9400 or whatever it is.
I mean,
and I could still run stuff.
Granted, I've never bought any AMD graphics cards. The only reason my laptop has one is because it was the beefiest one that they were selling with at the time.
But yeah, I want to say I gave Matt a Radeon 6460 or something like that.
But the
I already had an AMD or an Intel Dell going, so that's why I went with an NVIDIA card.
In my PCs, I've never had issues with NVIDIA ever.
It's usually a little bit more expensive, and I feel like it's always worth it. There's less issues with different things, like physics is a NVIDIA feature.
Especially if you're running an Intel machine, it's just...
Well, and speaking of that, like physics in general, me and Matt fired up Borderlands 2 the other night, and that was... It looks so good.
Oh, yeah?
Like, especially, and I'm not just saying PC get Master Race, but like, with upgraded settings and setting it on, you know, basically God mode with settings, like, it still looks beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about that game still looks good. We found a page that had a list of shift codes, and me and him, I think we stopped when we hit like 30 shift codes because it was just so much to do. Like, we spent 30 minutes entering shift codes after I found the site, and I was like, oh, we're going to be doing this in a minute. It's like, I know. And then the keys, and then the chest. We're not going to get started on this quest till like midnight. And we did. I don't want to say it was like Thursday night or something, but me and him were up till like 3 in the morning playing fucking Borderlands. But Borderlands 2 is still a good game. Especially if I can still get gameplay out of it. Now, he wanted to play Diablo 2 or Diablo 3. And not that I have any problem with Diablo 3 right now. I'm not in the mood for that kind of game. Again, that top-down not the isometric thing, but just that top-down action game thing was not what I wanted to get into.
Yeah.
Especially since his character is so far leveled ahead of mine, I wasn't feeling it. But going back to that, like speaking of isometric stuff, played a lot of Wasteland 2. They did a major update, and I played a lot of that. I want to say I put in another Friday. I spent from 10 in the morning till about 1:30 in the morning.
Starting to feel like it's pretty close to release?
Yeah, it really is. The quests are way fleshed out. I only found a couple bugs. I had one bug where I found a sniper rifle for my sniper on my team, and it floated above her head when she shot it. So, I mean, there's little things like that. But, like, the quest structure was definitely not broken. I was having a hell of a lot of fun. They open up a whole new area called the Missile Silo, and I've been playing through that map. They have this sect of guys called the Mad Monks, and what the Mad Monks do is they're a bunch of guys that worship a Titan ICBM. And they carry nuclear grenades, and what they do is during this little canyon that you're going through, you have to pay them tribute, and then you get this Mad Monk. Mad Monk does is he protects you with his life. He's a kamikaze. He's a suicide bomber. And so what'll happen is if he gets to the point where he's almost going to die, he will blow his fucking self up. Now, if you're too close to him, you will die, which I found out. But other people have Mad Monks too, so there's a variety of quests where you've got to decide if you want to get involved or if you don't get involved. So there's raiders in that area that also have their Mad Monk escorts. They pay tribute. And if you get involved with them, like trying to stop them robbing somebody, then their Mad Bunk will engage your Mad Bunk, and it'll be like a fucking holocaust go on. Like, they'll both blow themselves up. So I've decided that if they have Mad Bunks, I'm not going to even fuck with it. I'm just going to continue on trying to be as smart as I can with my different speech skills on my character to get through the area. But I'm crazy. I've played that game, played through the demo so many fucking times with so many different characters. The demo is so big. The first starting area is about 12 hours of gameplay, and I'm about 15 hours in now that I'm playing this new set of group or set of characters. I have a character called Wasteland Sally. Wasteland Sally is a sniper with a high perception skill. What perception allows you to do is to find high hidden items, and also will give you certain options during dialogue, like you perceive something to be incorrect, you perceive a weapon on the character, things like that.
Yeah.
But she helps with that. I have one character that is nothing but speech skills plus submachine gun, or plus shotguns. And what is his name? I forgot what I named him. But anyway, this dude, he's I named him Cornelius Kerr. I don't even know why I did. It was just random thing, you know. So you name all your characters. I rolled this character, and he's got like the three basic speech skills. He's got smart ass, hard ass, and kiss ass.
Nice.
And I've got most of the skills leveled up plus shotguns. And so anytime I engage in conversation, I give him the lead. And he's also got a leadership skill. What leadership allows me to do is it gives people bonuses to their stats within a certain area around him. Also, if I pick up random NPCs, they have less of a chance to act on their own and still act under my command. Part of the thing is you'll pick up random NPCs sometimes to add to your party, and they will do their own thing sometimes, which can be nice. Like run through a minefield or do something crazy or freak out. I have one freak out, and the skill or the debuff was called "You're Too Close to Me" or something like that. And it freaked out, and my aim chance was all fucked up on my gun, and my aim chance on my melee weapons was all fucked up until I moved her way the fuck away from the party to start shooting. So, like, it almost felt like a D&D mechanic, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fucking cool. But yeah, with a high leadership skill, like, I can overcome most of those social fears that character has. But yeah, nice. I got a character that does nothing but... He's my infiltrator, and I can't remember his name. It was like Handy Herald or something like that. And
nice.
He has a safe cracking, a lock picking, and an alarm skill, along with a maxed out SMG skill. And so he's my guy that anytime I find some kind of loot that I can't crack, or I find a door that I want to go through to get around a group, he's the guy that does that. Like, I got a group of specialists of one character that is just a straight up heavy weapon specialist. He's got a law rocket launcher, or a law missile launcher. He's got a LMG, and
nice.
He carries grenades. And his backup, if I really need it, is a big two-handed wrench. So, like, that character also has his skills, and they have pre-made characters you can use.
Why does that just remind me of Jane?
Oh, well, because that's kind of what Jane was. He's a brute. People wondering the reference, that is totally, totally Firefly.
Totally Firefly.
But yeah, I should have just named him Jane.
You should have.
A man named Jane. But yeah, that's the beauty. I love, like, designing my own characters, and the graphics aren't super awesome on the characters, but most of the time they're so zoomed out, you don't see them.
Yeah.
I wish that when you added wet armor, that the armor would be worn on the character, but you never really see that. That's something they did in Fallout 1 and 2. I don't know why they can't do it in this. And it might just be because it's on a beta build or something like that, but...
Who knows?
Like, they unlocked some basic stuff like you would have expected to be in it that wasn't in before. They unlocked tutorials on this is how you barter, this is how you move your character, this, you know, all that basic bullshit. If you're wandering in the desert and you run out of water, you will die. If you go through this radiation zone without a radiation suit, you will die.
You know what?
And so they added some tooltips you can turn on and off.
I understand wanting to test that in beta, but why would you turn that on for beta? I mean, really...
To see what kind of pushback you get from the hardcore people that are playing in beta.
Really, anyone in your beta, one, has most likely played Wasteland 1.
I hadn't played it since I was a child. You know, that game came out in 1988. You know how old I was in 1988? Six.
I know. I'm just saying. They're most likely veterans of Fallout, which is a different game. But
no, really, this more so than the Bethesda series, which is also great, but more so than that Bethesda series is really, it's going to sound really snobby, but this is really what Fallout 3 is. And I'm not saying that because they're using any of the themes from Fallout, but it is Fallout with more than just a couple of characters. It's Fallout with a party of seven.
Fallout should have been.
It is a turn-based combat game with a lot of story and a lot of dialogue and a lot of central themes with a lot of the same humor because it's being written by guys that have done the original game. Not only is it the original director, but it's the guy that wrote New Vegas. Yeah. Wrote parts of New Vegas is heavily involved with it. You know, it's just Bethesda did a fantastic job. I'm not going to knock Bethesda games; they're good. I just feel like it's such a difference from the series with it given the first person mode and VATS and stuff like that.
Yeah,
trying to emulate a turn-based RPG by adding the VATS system and adding those themes, but New Vegas and regular Fallout 3 all being amazing games and some of the games that I love the most are not that old isometric RPG feel. And not to sound snobby, I just have a hell of a lot of fun. I am addicted as shit to this game. I am playing a beta that is unfinished, and I will go through it happily again with a whole new set of characters when this finally releases, because apparently the way that they're doing it is, so like in the beta, you can get to this prison level, and there is a spot where you are just not able to get past it. They have set up an impossible thing in the mission to keep you from progressing further in that part of the beta. So they have this, they have two turrets that will insta-kill you if you go towards the next area of the level. And there is no way, there are posts on the forums about people loading everybody up with RPGs because you have the first round of combat if your initiative is high enough, and that's it. After that, it has such a high initiative that it gets like two turns and will waste your characters because even if I have 100 health, it does like 150 damage per character, and it's splash damage too, so they're going to take out most of my team in like three goes. So there is no getting past that. And for people that have found a way to load up everybody with RPGs and to demolish those rock, those guns, have found the door does not open. And as try as I could for about an hour and a half of trying to destroy it with rocket launchers and stuff, my guys didn't have a high enough heavy weapon skill to get past it. You would basically have to set up a whole team of heavies in order to get past it, and that whole team of heavies would not progress through most of the game very well. So it's a game based on specialization already. There's no reason to go through that just to see if you can get to that next part because it takes 8 hours to get there.
Yeah.
So they added a new area that you can get to without going away. If you list, and that's the other thing about this game. Like, it really doesn't hold your hand. There are no quest markers per se. You'll get a message on the radio that you need to go to this place, and it'll put a map marker there, but your quests have a log as to what you're doing, but there is nobody highlighted in gold or orange or sparkling or anything else to tell you that's where you turn the quest in. You just have to remember who Harold from the Ag Center was, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And talk to him, or just talk to a lot of NPCs. And so a lot of the game is that text-based dialogue or voice dialogue, depending on what it is. Which again makes it very much how Fallout worked, and there's multiple solutions to every problem. So,
well, speaking of RPGs, I got another person hooked on Dark Souls.
Oh, anybody I know?
No. It's up at my new workplace.
I loaned Dark Souls to Izzy up at work. He's going to speedrun it and YouTube it. So, he said, and I loaned it out to him at the perfect time. He doesn't work Monday and Tuesday. And I caught him on Saturday. He's like, yeah, I'm taking Sunday off, so I won't be back till Wednesday. You've given me the gift of not having to do anything else right now for like 3 days. So apparently even like his girlfriend and kid and everybody else are not going to be bugging him. He has 3 days of solitude to play Dark Souls.
Oh, wow.
So
I do not even want to think about speedrunning that game. It took so long for me to beat it the first time.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm going to be interested. If he does it, I'll post a link on the site to the speedrun. But, so anyways, yeah, talking games. I really didn't have a whole lot else. Like I said, I played a little bit of ESO. Oh, 7 Days to Die. I will tell you about a funny experience of that. I'm playing solo, and they've updated some features. Now it's getting into the RPG realm. That game is just growing and growing and growing. Now it's to the point where you have craftable armor that you can make that adds stats, and you unlock perks, and you have different medicine you can make, and different, basically, nice potions. So, like, I can make coffee. Coffee makes my stamina not run low. I have different healing salts.
Makes sense.
I have infection. So I got infected and had to find antibiotics, which is really frantic. Yeah, 3 days. So 3 days in that game, I put it on the 30-minute timer, is an hour and a half. Had an hour and a half before I was going to die. And the more infected I am, the worse my stamina goes, so it's harder to run from zombies. So I spent a very frantic 45 minutes running in the middle of the night from a herd, which is something else they must have just added, because like even though now they have radar, zombie radar, basically, you can see what's going on, and it tells you different alert statuses. There was a herd roaming the map, and it found my little house that I'd boarded up, and I didn't know it was in there until I started cooking, and I guess the smell from the food that I was cooking drew the herd to the house. They started tearing down the whole bottom floor of the house, and I finally escaped through the roof, and out the roof I went, like in the early morning hours, and snuck my way away, and then I came back later, and all my shit was destroyed. But I spent that next, like, 45 minutes running from zombies and doing very quick house searches through shitloads of zombies, trying to find antibiotics in a medicine cabinet. And I spent a whole night in one of the houses, hiding in an attic, crafting like basic stuff from whatever I had, boarding up windows from the boards that I'd found, and still not finding an axe. Like, it's so weird, like, how the building goes now, too. Like, I guess they have this new thing for PvP where you have what they call a keystone. And the keystone gives you, like, I want to say it's like a 10x10 grid around you that nobody can build on. And it makes your stuff that like 800% more durable. So for towards enemy players, not towards zombies. So if I was to play on a huge server, I could set up my house with this keystone and build my house around that keystone, and that core of that house would not fall until I had to log on for a certain amount of days. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Also, the way that things build is a little more interesting too. Right now, you build a frame, and after you build the frame, you have to add basically like plywood and things like that to build out the frame. But like the zombies just seem smarter. Like that was a cool feature of like I had rabbit that I'd killed with my stone axe. Like, that sounds very Rust, but like I just cornered a rabbit and killed him with my stone axe, and took his hide and made gloves out of it, and then cooked him and ate him. But it gave me like 3 rabbit bits or whatever that I boiled with water. And when I put it on my belt, like it said detection level is increased or something like that. And so zombies from further away could detect me because I had cooked food hanging on my tool belt. But, yeah, they smoothed out the terrain. The graphics look way better now. It's not Skyrim level, but it's went from, like, Half-Life 2 level to being somewhere in between, like, Left 4 Dead and Half-Life 2, I guess.
Yeah.
But a better lighting system than Left 4 Dead. It's not on the Source engine. It's on some weird engine. But that game just keeps getting more and more interesting the more that I play it, now that it is more of a survival game than it's ever been before. But I still really like that game. I may, depending on when we finish, play that again tonight. But anyways, that's all the game I got. You know, I feel like for two guys, we're not doing too bad.
No.
So
no, would have been nice, but I just had to shift my priorities this week to TV. You have to do that every once in a while.
Yeah, that's true. So with that, I think we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with questions, etc. And we will see you guys soon.
It's just two of us, so why can't I say we're ready to be done with this thing?
Well, I think I'm just tired. It has been a long day for me, and I'm ready to game already. So, no offense, Jason. I've been going for a long time at this point. So, in the realm of news, we didn't have a whole lot, but we did have a couple things, didn't we?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Actually, yeah, we did. Pretty big news.
What's up?
Lead artist for The Last of Us, Nate Wells, has decided to leave Naughty Dog and join the Giant Sparrow team, who's currently developing the Unfinished Swan.
What is that?
I have no idea. There is a link to it here, and I was trying to pull it up, and my phone is not wanting to cooperate with me at all.
It's called what?
The Unfinished Swan.
I want to say I've heard something about that, but I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Basically, they're both developers live in Santa Monica, so it's not like it was a huge jump for him.
He was looking for a job in town. He's like, hey, there's a job right there.
Yep. But he leaves around the same time that Annie Hennig left, the writer for Uncharted.
Yeah, that's true.
And Justin Raymond, who was the Uncharted 4 director, left to work on League of Legends.
That's a weird choice.
I know, right? So, who knows? Big changes coming at Naughty Dog.
Well, it seems like MOBAs have really just kind of taken the world by storm. Like, Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
It's coming really soon. I know Matt's wife is actually playing the beta on that. He's so pissed.
Really?
Yeah, because she plays a lot of the same games that we do, but she's big in Diablo and World of Warcraft. And since she's played so many Blizzard games, she's like, she just let him know one day. I got Heroes of the Storm. She's been playing the shit out of that.
I'm sure that frustrates him to no end.
We were talking the other night, and she does hear in the background. She's like, I got Heroes of the Storm, you fucker. I'm just like, God damn it. But I'm kind of looking forward to that. I don't know. I was thinking about that because we're looking at game news, and we're doing prep for the show tonight. It's like not really a lot of news. Like, we're going on a major game news sites, and there's nothing. We're going through our normal resources, and there's nothing. This was the biggest story that we had, and we've just, what it is, we got done with, like, Epic Release Month, which was March.
Yeah.
And I'm still catching up with all that stuff. Like, I still need to jump back into Dark Souls. I just don't know. Like, maybe that'll be a Thursday adventure, you know? That's just...
That's definitely one I can see you need to devote a whole day to.
I need to finish it, but I think it'll take me more than one day. I think it'll take me at least a couple. And I'm just so balls deep in Wasteland, it's hard for me to peel myself away. I really like that game, and it's unfinished. So, it's just right up my niche. I think the game that fits my niche the best is the one that I can listen to podcasts to and play at the same time, or something slow enough that I can eat dinner and play. Like, XCOM hit that niche really hard.
Yeah.
Because it was one of those games that I could... It's turn-based. So I can think about it a little bit and then do my turn, you know?
Yeah.
So if we get some more turn-based games, Banner Saga releases the next episode this year. I'll be playing the shit out of that, too. And who knows when Witcher's coming out. Like, I'm really excited about that, but who knows when that's going to come out, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Oh, and as an extension, Todd Stashwick, who was the voice of Uncharted for the longest time, has also left and is actually going to be working with Visceral on their new Star Wars project.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who knows when that's going to fucking come out, but...
Right. But if you haven't noticed, the last quarter of last year, and so far the first quarter of this year, is a lot of big moves when it comes to studios.
True.
Lot of name shifting.
Well, and it's like I said, April we knew was not going to be the month of the game.
No. Not at all.
I have played... I do need to play, because it just came out, the Wolf Among Us. The latest episode of that came out. I just need to find time to do it. I don't know if I want to do it tonight, just because I need something I didn't want to engage my brain in that much.
Yeah.
I just need something I can do until I get tired. But, because I'll play that all night until I'm done with it.
Yeah.
But, this is kind of how games have gone the last month. Which is why we've been talking about movies and shit like that, because that's what we're doing right now in the midst of all this.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot.
When it gets slow and... let's face it, most of the stuff out there right now I really want to play, I'm holding off until I either have a new PC or I have one of the next-gen consoles to really be able to dig into it. you know.
Well, I was going to say that new game, Daylight, comes out next week.
Yeah,
it does. Trent's going to be playing that. I don't know if that'll be out in time for our...
No. Granted, I just need to buckle down and buy Dark Souls 2. I just haven't yet.
Well, I could buy it on PC and you could just play it off my Xbox copy.
Eh, whatever.
Thought about rerolling a character again and playing things differently than I did before.
Yeah. But, like I said, that was one I was going to swear not to play until I could purchase it. Because I know I am going to dump 100 hours into that game. Just because I may not like that.
Sold on it. I know a lot of the people, a lot of the employees know me as kind of like the game guy, you know, that I play a lot of video games.
Yeah.
And so I have people kind of randomly come up to me and ask me, like, oh, what are you playing this time? I've been selling people on Dark Souls. It's like, don't play a game for pussies. Play a game that's hard. And I don't mean it
that
way.
You can't go wrong with it.
It's one of those, like, I can challenge their man card a little bit because most of those people are a lot younger than me.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll start playing it. I still can't get Chad into it. But,
oh,
Chad's got weird taste in games. But, yeah, it's one of those. That's how I was able to sell Easy on. It's like, you sped run Demon Souls. You can play Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And now he's balls the wall into it. But, I think that's just the kind of month it is. I mean, just kind of spawning off into, I'm going to do this out of our normal order, but there's not a lot going on, so we might as well say what's actually coming out here soon. And Dark Souls is out on PC this week. When you listen to this, you'll be seeing that. You also got The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which I don't know what that's going to do. It's out on everything, even PC and Wii U and 3DS. Daylight comes out next week. You have Child of Light coming out next week. You have Kirby Triple Deluxe coming out next week, the week after that, which I don't think envision myself playing. I may get back into Kirby. That was a big childhood thing. I know Wolfenstein New Order is coming out the 20th of next month, and Transistor, which is same guys that did Bastion, are going to be releasing their game on PS4 and PC on May 20th, and those are your big releases here soon, until something just kind of drops on us, because, you know, it could happen that, like, The Witcher just, like, drops on us or something like that.
Well, especially since Watch Dogs got pushed back another month.
So is it July now?
No, it's May. It was April.
I don't see it on the May list.
Until a couple weeks ago. What?
I want to say it's at least June. That's why I was saying July.
Holy crap. It keeps pushing back and pushing back. And you know what? I understand they're having trouble with the mobile integration. But I don't care. Once it finally comes out, as long as it works well, it'll be worth the pushbacks.
That's true. I imagine, like it or not, at some point, me and Russ, you're going to get balls deep into ESO and play a lot of that. And my goal is to have a good concept of what that is through the month of May, so that when June rolls around and people are trying to decide if they want to play it on Xbox One, they know if they want to play it. I know, at least with the control scheme, it'd be very easy to map to a controller because they make the skill set in a way that you could... Well, I mean, there's only 6 skills anyway at a time.
I can tell you, Rusty is going to need a general life detox once this semester ends. So he'll probably have in-game of ESO by the time the end of May rolls around. Watch him sink a ton of hours into it.
So just speaking of stuff like that in general, and just kind of moving the show along a little bit. We had a question last week when we were asking what was the specific wording on that, Jason?
The specific wording was, I got to pull it back up again. My brain is shutting down all of a sudden right now.
That's okay.
What was it? What show might we have not watched that we should? Was pretty dang close.
Yeah. And that's how I discovered Rick and Morty this week.
Yep.
I think people should still watch Spaced if you haven't watched that already.
Oh yes.
That's Simon Pegg, Nick Castle from Shaun of the Dead. what was that most recent one? The pub movie.
At World's End.
At World's End and Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the director of that was also the one that did Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a show that everybody should watch. Yeah. Did we get any responses to that?
Alright, so the actual wording now that I've got pulled up was, what television show do you recommend the most highly? Casey actually answered twice, and I think this is hilarious. He said, Tiltcast, Behind the Glory. I don't think he read the question all the way. And then he ended up saying, Game of Thrones. Which, nah, I enjoy Game of Thrones, but it's not for everybody.
I like it pretty well.
I will fully admit, it's not for everybody. You know, if you don't like the Lord of the Rings series, you don't like older movies like Dragon Slayer and stuff like that, you're not going to enjoy this. And then John, hello buddy, said Avatar, The Last Airbender.
He's talked about that a lot. Yeah. I've never watched it, though.
It is a really good show. The movie in no way did that show justice at all. So, you know, if there are people out there who didn't watch it because it was a cartoon on Nickelodeon, you should totally load that up on Netflix. Give it a try. The first season or so is still very much kids' cartoon, but it really evolves from there. That was weird. I could have swore I heard a smoke detector beep.
Maybe it was a smoke detector.
No, it sounded like it was in another room or another apartment, but... Before I forget, before we get on to the next question, the last thing I had was, news-wise, was that CCP, the guys who do EVE Online, have, for the most part, closed their Atlanta offices.
Really?
They basically laid off 56 members of the development team. So basically, who's there now is there for maintaining the American side of EVE. Which stinks, because they're the one MMO that I've been waiting 8 years for has been canceled. And that was the one based on a tabletop.
Weird.
World of Darkness. They've canceled it. So... which would have been a cool world, you know. Talking about Supernatural, that would have been it in an MMO. So that is gone. But then again, they may have, for as small of a developer as they are, they may have been stretching themselves too thin all this time.
Interesting. So this week we decided to go a little bit different way with our question.
Yep.
We wanted to kind of crowdsource a little bit and see what you guys think. We talk about a lot of games on this show, and we play a lot of games, but people know that I'm frequently having a hard time finishing games because I get distracted by something else. But in the interest of doing that yet again to me, what game haven't you heard us talk about that you'd like to hear more on, or like to hear us talk more about? And of course, you can find us at Twitter, Facebook, or teabag@tiltcast.com. We got all that stuff if you go to the website to see the show notes. And get us a hold of us and let us know what you think. Because that's one of the things that we want to do, is make sure that we keep you entertained and also keep you understanding what we're looking for.
We also want to keep you well informed, too. I mean, if there's something out there that you'd like to hear more about that, you know, we may not necessarily pick up on our own because it may not be something that's completely our bag, still let us know. I mean, if nothing else, there are rent sources out there that we can go get something just to put a couple hours into it and give you an opinion. Whether it be just about mechanics or whatnot.
Hell, it could be a space sim that I haven't played. Something like that. I'm just curious. I mean, I got a pretty wide variety of things that I like. I will tell you that I don't like Call of Duty that much, but if you guys really want me to play Call of Duty, I'll try it. But, yeah, that's not my bag. That's Jason and Rusty's bag.
Yeah, you throw that out there. I'll play any shooter that's invented. So
with that being said, don't forget we got Gauntlet on May 3rd. Gears of War 3 at 10 p.m. We'll be playing that on Xbox, of course. Currently, we've suspended Dota Wednesdays. If you really want to play Dota and you see me on Steam, just hit me up. It doesn't have to be Wednesday. But other than that, I've already went through new games. I think it's just time for our shout-outs, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Kind of disordered, but yeah.
That's okay. We like to mix things up occasionally. We do have some friends out there. Of course, we got thecarouselpodcast.com. We have noquarters.net. We have tvgp.tv. They do good things. We have bmfcast.com and For the Love of Gaming. Of course, you can find us at tilcast.com, Stitchers, search Tilcast, iTunes, search Tilcast, facebook.com/tilcast, twitter.com/tilcast, and email us at tbag, letter T, the word bag, at tilcast.com.
Woohoo!
And with that, we are going to close this show out, and we will see you next week. So we will catch you around.
Later, guys. Nappy, nappy.